I'd like to invite the guys to join me on the stage, if they would, please. And while they're coming up, would you find in your scriptures Psalm 107, the 107th Psalm. If you're familiar at all with the Chronicles of Narnia, you'll know in the first book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a scene when the children have gathered with an animal couple, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver. They've already had an encounter with Aslan, albeit a brief one. And the youngest of the group, Lucy, is enthralled and wants to know a little bit more about this creature. And so this dialogue occurs, if you remember in the story, this dialogue occurs back and forth, and the apex of that conversation is all about, is Aslan safe? Is Aslan safe? And you get this chuckle from Mrs. Beaver. She goes, oh no, dearie, he is not safe, but he is good. He is good. C.S. Lewis had an insight into the character of God that I think is phenomenal. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness lasts forever. If you haven't memorized a verse lately, I want to encourage you to memorize Psalm 107, verse 1. It's also 106, verse 1, and 118, verse 1, and 136, verse 1. And 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, Solomon's great prayer, dedication of the temple. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. On and on. That's going to be our focus today. The Lord is good. We may not be able to understand everything there is about him. Certainly not. He is God. We are his creation. We may not understand all of his ways. We may not completely comprehend his will, but we do know that he is good and that his loving kindness is everlasting. And for that, we give thanks. So I've asked the elders to join me up front this morning, and we're going to answer for you two specific questions. And those questions are actually printed for you in your notes page in the bulletin, because I want you to be able to answer the same questions. They are significant in our journey. So I've asked them, first of all, what is one thing that you are thankful for in this spiritual community? You know, David went on as he's writing Psalm 107 to tell us what good things he is thankful for. His presence in every aspect of our journey, his guidance in every step that we take, his mercy when we are weak, his enduring love. He is filled with loving kindness. In him is complete satisfaction, and he gives deliverance to us to bring us to safety. You know, the song that I had played for you during offertory, thank you for the year. Thank you for things seen and unseen. Thank you for the moments you seemed distant, but you were still at work. Thank you. So I don't know who's going to go first. We have a microphone, do we? Oh, it's down there. Want you to be able to be heard. These men are going to answer this question for one thing that you are thankful for in this spiritual journey. So I'm assuming, because Robert has the mic first, he's volunteered to start.
Yeah, I made that. Volunteered him.
See how they are. Oh, that question, the community, spiritual community. The journey I've been on, January is kind of a big month for me because of 4 years ago, I decided to stop being a poser and going to church and acting really well. I was, say, one of the best probably. Anyways, I kind of came to a point as this is all there is. And God said, no, you haven't even seen what I've got for you. And I opened up my heart. I dumped it on the floor over at the annex with the men's group over and over and over. And for that, the spiritual community that I have here in this church, I'm very grateful for. Because they've been there every step of the way. And you're not alone. You are with your brothers, sisters next to you to come through this. And that's what this congregation has done for me.
No, we'll get to the second one here in a second.
Do we?
Well, mine will be original. His will be a follow-up. You know, we're of this world, but we're not of this world. And, you know, as the turmoil and strife and hate and murder and evil that goes on in this world, this church, this body, is a sanctuary for me. No matter what's going on, I come here and I'm stabilized. I know who my God is. I know what my life is for. I know where I belong, and it's here. And so I'm just amazed how much joy and life that is here, and celebration and praise that's in this congregation. And I just love coming here each and every week and just seeing everyone, you know, and watching the kids grow up and become young adults and then get married. It's, and, you know, we have death and we have life. And it's a cycle of life that goes on in the world, but it goes on in our church too. And to me, it's a joy to be a part of this cycle of life, because it's a good cycle of life that we have here in this church. And thank you.
All right. So as I was thinking about this, what am I thankful for? I thought, what would God say? Maybe I should ask God about this. And so he directed my thoughts to the letters to the churches in Revelation. And I read through and I said, well, I think maybe something will jump out at me. And so I was looking through it, and I was in the New Living Translation, which I like for its freshness, and I saw something that I'd never seen before in another translation, and that is in the letter to Thyatira. He says, I know the things you do. I have seen your love, your faith, your service, and your patient endurance, and I can see your constant improvement in all these things. I'd never seen that before. And that is what I'm thankful for with this church, is that we are a church that's growing spiritually. We are a church where people want to do more, know more, experience more of God. And that's just, I feel, a real blessing, and I'm so very happy to be a part of this body.
It's hard to follow up, you guys. I should have gone first. There's so much to be thankful for, and that I am thankful for, to you all, to this church family. I've been thinking as Pastor Duane's been taking us into the book of Nehemiah. I've been spending a little bit of my morning time in that book, and I'm reminded God set as an example some messages in that book, and one of the examples is, I think in chapter 3, it says that Eliashib and the other priests got to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They didn't, and of course the rest of the church family got involved in rebuilding gates and so forth, but the leadership, those chartered with spiritual leadership, they didn't think them of themselves too proud or aloof to like just get dirty and build the gate. And I just, it's one of the things that I love about this church. I mean, these guys, it doesn't matter whether a toilet needs to be fixed, weeds need to be pulled, somebody's got to come early, stay late, and figure out why in the heck is the monitor not working, or our internet's down, or we got two dozen guys showing up tomorrow night and cooking a meal for the men, you know, every 2 weeks. All of that is done with thanksgiving amongst the leadership, and then I extend that beyond the guys that serve as elders. There, you guys do so much in this church, and God says that's a sign of a healthy body when all of the parts and pieces are working together. That's so good. I've been in church life now for over 3 decades, and this church is a church that just jumps in and gets it done together. And I love that. And a little later in Nehemiah, it talks about the fact that they all circled the wagons and said, man, we need to re-up our commitment to what we're doing here. And it says that the leaders, again, first and foremost, they put their signature on a document, a covenant that said, we're in. And they brought their gifts and tithes and offerings. And again, I know this church is so generous. These guys, yeah, before we come to you when there's a need, like this group digs first deeper into their pocketbooks. And it's just, we see that as an example in scripture, and I see that being lived out here in this church family. And so that's one of the many things that I just love about this Community Bible Church family.
Very good. Thank you, guys. The follow-up question is this. Casey's already mentioned during our announcement time from John chapter 5, God is at work. God is at work. We're going to look at that a little more in depth next week. It's a fundamental assumption by which we pattern our lives after. So, since that is true, it's worth asking, what is it that you see God doing then in this spiritual family? If we believe that God is at work, which I do, then what is he doing as he is at work in us? So I've asked the guys to speak into that for just a moment.
So I've got the hot mic. Well, one of the things, if you've been a part of our church family for any length of time, you know that one of the things that God has laid onto Dwayne's heart is, Lord Jesus, bring revival. Bring revival to our land, to our valley, to this town, this community. And I am witnessing revival first within this church family. You're hearing little bits, you're getting some glimpses of it amongst us. Like, we need revival. And God's doing that. And he's meeting us on the road as we journey with him. And we're experiencing revival in a lot of different ways. Right now the guys are going through, we're just finishing up a Moving Mountains study on prayer, and God's teaching us and bringing us into a new level of communication with him through prayer. That's really, really amazing.
The spiritual growth in Community Bible Church. We have been hearing a lot of pieces of people hearing God speak and leading them. And we pray for that continuously as God, the Holy Spirit brings it to the congregation. And I truly believe that we put it in God's hands and we let the Holy Spirit do His work in us. And He does work in us in every aspect that we allow Him to. And I can see it with the conversations that we have at Table Talk, the conversations that we have on the sidewalk, that God is moving. God is doing His work here in us at Community Bible Church to keep, once we get it here, then it will go on beyond outside these doors and will become in the valley as well for what His plan is.
All right. I knew there was a reason you shouldn't start, Casey. I was going to talk about moving mountains.
There's a lot to talk about.
There really is. We're seeing guys just really come alive there. And they're really asking a lot of great questions and inquiring of us about the Lord, but also inquiring of the Lord Himself. We're seeing guys who are really dedicated to praying better. When we started this book, a lot of guys bought it themselves and also got it from Duane here, and they're going through it as well. And that shows a good level of commitment for guys, especially. We're just seeing this tremendous growth there. Anyway, that's pretty much it for me. I'm just really very pleased and encouraged by what I'm seeing the guys going through.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you know, the men's group eat very well. you're missing out. Those aren't coming. Really, banquet of smorgasbord of delights on a daily basis. I was just thinking, you know, it's wonderful because everybody's kind of involved and they're bringing food and we're watching the videos and we're discussing. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing because a lot of those people aren't in our church. They come from outside. And so it gives us an opportunity to grow them with this group here. And, you know, I came from a big church. And to come to a church like this, that's small, it's so alive, it's vibrant to me, you know, to coming into this congregation. It's vibrant. They love to serve. And we serve each other all the time, and I just enjoy service. That's my whole background in life was service. And so, you know, I've watched the changes in the church, and this year the things that we have accomplished and the things we've repaired and fixed and got going. And, you know, it's year after year this continuously goes on in this congregation. So, you know, I'm at home here. I love it, and I'm very proud to be a part of the Community Bible Church. So,
oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The Hebrew word for giving thanks is peppered with praise. In fact, it's a part of the word. The implication is you can't give thanks without praising. You can't praise without giving thanks. That thanksgiving will inevitably follow your commitment to praise and to declare. Secondly, and with that, the Hebrew word for giving thanks isn't like our English word, right? When somebody does something nice for us, we respond with this verbal affirmation of gratitude. Thank you for fill in the blank. Hebrew doesn't have that as much. It more means to make known. So when you're giving thanks, you're making known to all those around you that God is good. You're making known His mercy. You're making known the way he guides and directs and delivers. You're making known his presence. You're making known that in him you are completely satisfied. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Thank you, Father, for this year. For all the things seen and unseen. For being there at every fear and tear. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your grace and your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. It is a declaration that we make. Certainly our hearts are filled with gratitude. They're filled with praise. But we also want to make known, this is who you are. This is how you behave. This is what you do in us, around us, and through us. That's why we can declare, I will live in the goodness of God. Give thanks with a grateful heart. 10,000 reasons and forevermore, we declare. As each one ponders these questions for themselves, I ask, Lord Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit, that you would bring some powerful mental pictures to their mind of the ways in which you have ministered, engaged, loved, shared, given mercy in the journey of each and every one. We are better a people together for how we are learning of you when we're apart. And it is in this and all things that we give thanks. For your loving kindness is everlasting. Amen and amen.